The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I suppose it would be appropriate to say Happy New Year. We begin a new year, the first Sunday in Advent. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. Two Sundays in a row where we've had kind of crazy weather, and it's great to see so many people here today. Pastor Moline tells me that in North Dakota, it is kind of crazy, but on snowy days, church attendance goes way up, because the farmers are all in competition to show who's the toughest and can make it out and make it to church on a snowy day. So maybe we can transfer some of that North Dakota bragging rights to Nebraska as well. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 331, The Advent of Our King. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. Please note that during the season of Advent, the Gloria in Excelsis, the hymn of praise, and the Alleluias are held back. We refrain from that. And we'll sing them anew on Christmas Eve. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other, and we'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Donna White. Donna, not a member of the congregation, but a longtime friend of the congregation, and been ministering to her for quite some time. Donna's funeral service will be Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock at Roper's. Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock at Roper's. It has also pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Cleo Kessler. Cleo's been a member of the congregation for several years, passed away last Sunday, and the memorial service for Cleo will be this week, Thursday, 11 a.m. here at Good Shepherd. Thursday morning here at Good Shepherd. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come into your house on this first day of our new church year, and we need a word from you, a word that will give us peace and hope and joy and comfort in the midst of our trials and tribulation and even in the midst of death. Heavenly Father, the cold winds are blowing, the snow is falling, and we are tempted to think that everything in the world is bleak and full of despair. Teach us, O Lord, that our King comes to us. Our King comes to us for our salvation. Our King comes to us to give us life, true life, eternal life. Fill us with this hope today and throughout our Advent season. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen, to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 331.
Oh, 51. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the introit as it is printed in our bulletin. We'll sing it together. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join now in speaking our gradual for today. None
who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed after him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 336.
Thank you.
besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. You know, in a sense, we are all product of the time in which we grew up. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. It was a time of what everybody billed as radical times. Oh, sure, we had a riot on the street every once in a while, campus demonstrations, a sexual revolution. The days of the 60s and the 70s went from long dresses to short skirts, back to long dresses. Fashions changed, people changed. We were waiting, you know, for a new age, the age of Aquarius. We were waiting for a new time. Does anybody really know what time it is? The times, they are a-changing. And I could go through song after song after song that would echo those same things. Today, when you look around, it seems to me that that old adage is very true. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We have people who are saying we live in radical times, right? We have to do something. We have to do something because the establishment is so mean and evil. We need demonstrations. We need race riots because, you know, all the problems in the world are because of privilege. Male privilege. White male privilege. We have a sexual revolution. Only now we've been introduced to an alphabet soup of sexual things that we need to be aware of. LGBTQ plus, and the list goes on and on. We're told that we need to self-identify. And there are, depending on who you talk to, either 41 or 141 different genders that you can self-identify with. Oh, the times, they are a-changing. But when you get right down to it, the more things change, the more they stay the same. People are always looking for something. People are always searching for an answer, for a change, for meaning and purpose in life. But there is one phrase today that is kind of new. I have to admit, it took me months to figure out what it actually meant. I think I have it down now. Are you woke? Are you woke? Well, aside from the fact that it's bad grammar, are you woke? Think of it this way. Think of a little baby kitten. And what happens when you have a little baby kitten? If you look at its eyes, they're closed. The eyes are shut. But if you wait a couple of weeks, what happens? The eyes are open. In a sense, they're woke. They're woke because now they can see. They can really see what's going on around them. They're not sitting in the dark. They're not blind. They can see the injustice. Now they can be an SJW. It took me even longer to figure out what that meant. A social justice warrior. My friends, any of you that are my age or older know that this is nothing new. This is the same old radical self-indulgence expressed in supposedly new and fresh ways. My friends, celebrating yourself always leaves you empty in the end. Year after year after year of feeding your appetites, your physical appetites, your sexual appetites, year after year will leave you bloated and hungover and pointing the finger at everybody else for your problems. There is nothing new under the sun. God's word for today, from the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans 13, especially 11 to 14 that we heard read before, basically asks this question. Are you woke? Are you woke? But the Holy Spirit is not asking this question the same way that our culture is asking this question. No, in a very different way. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. You know, the prophets of the 60s and 70s, the social prophets, that is, and the social prophets of today are right in one very, very important way. People need to open their eyes and see what's really going on. But where they have it wrong is that the eyes need to be opened not to our own selfish passions and desires, but our eyes need to be opened to the one true God and the word that he has revealed to us. We know what time it is. We start a new church here today. A lot of talk about time, right? We remember and we celebrate God taking on flesh and blood and making his dwelling among us. God taking up residence inside the womb of the Virgin Mary. God born in the flesh to redeem those who are in the flesh, you and me and all people for all times. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who places himself under God's holy law. The law that condemns us. The law that shows us our sin. Jesus places himself under it. And yet instead of demonstrating and becoming some sort of social justice warrior, he fulfills the law. He takes the law into himself and onto himself, living it perfectly, not just for himself, but for you. For you. Jesus takes our sin, our evil passions and lusts. He takes our selfishness and our selfish desires. He takes them all the way to Calvary's cross. He bleeds and dies the death we have earned, the death we deserve. He does this not for fame or fortune, not to get elected to some political office. He does this out of love. Love for you. Love for the world. True love. Selfless love. Agape love. Jesus pours out his Good Friday death and his Easter resurrection to you as he wraps you in it, in the waters of holy baptism. He gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation. It's yours. You know what time it is. It is the time of your salvation. We live in between the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh and the promise of him returning in the flesh. Every day for the Christian is the last day. And our salvation now is closer than it was yesterday, than it was last week, than it was 5 minutes ago. My friends, God calls us to wake up. To wake up and see what's going on around us. God and his word are mocked and ridiculed. God and his word are removed from every aspect of society. It doesn't matter what aspect we're looking at. God and his word have been removed. And it is time for Christians to say, enough! We don't need to become social justice warriors. We need to become Word of God warriors. And the social justice part will take care of itself. Enough of an Advent and Christmas season where there is no mention of the Christ child. Enough. Enough of living a life that is only centered on self. Enough. God's word calls us to something different, to something better. God's word says, wake up. Wake up, O Christian. Wake up. Luther teaches us that there is an unholy trinity that is attacking you, Christian, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We could spend lots of time talking about each one of those. But today, God's word in Romans 13 teaches us to focus in with a laser-like focus on the third one. That selfish desire, that evil lust, that sinful flesh, that enemy that dwells within each and every one of us. My friends, you don't need to be a Christian to know that evil exists in the world. You don't need to be a Christian to know that evil exists inside of people. Even the pagans, like Plato and Aristotle, could point out the difference between vice and virtue. Good and bad. They had it mixed up on how important vice and virtue were. They had it mixed up on how one became less vice-filled and more virtuous. They taught that if you just did good things, if you just did virtuous things, then you would become more and more virtuous. Listen to the social justice warriors of our day. They are new Platos and Aristotles. If you can align your heart and your mind and your life with their version of virtue, the world will become a nirvana. My friends, There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same old lie packaged in a different way. Wake up. Wake up. The Christian, the true Christian, knows the answer to how to deal with the vice that lives inside of our heart, the vice that emanates from us. Jesus teaches us in Mark 7 that the problem is not in so much the bad things that we do. The problem is in the fact that we have a bad heart. Out of the heart, Jesus says, flow all kinds of sins and evil lusts. We have a heart problem. Our heart needs to be redone, removed, transplanted. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. My friends, the solution to the evil, the selfish, the sin that lives inside of us is not in trying to become a better person, not creating a laundry list of virtues and trying really, really hard. The answer is not even in self-discipline. Well, you know, if I drink and smoke and cuss a little bit less today than I did yesterday, then all is good with the world, right? Wrong. Don't get me wrong, self-discipline is a good thing. To stop drinking before you get drunk is a good thing. To stop eating before you get stuffed is a good thing. To keep your hands to yourself when you're with someone who is not your spouse is a good thing. To curb your tongue and not immediately say the first thing that comes to your mind is a good thing. Moderation, self-control, self-discipline, these are all good things. But they're not the answer. My friends, we know the answer. We know the cure. The answer, the cure, is Jesus. Wake up! Wake up and look to Jesus, who is the one who has won forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus is the one who gives us new life in Him. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, teaches us, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of life. Put on the armor of life? What is that? How do you put on light over the darkness? Well, Paul goes on. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on the armor of light. Put on Jesus Christ. In other words, die. Die to yourself. Die to your sinful passions. Die to your evil lusts. Nobody wants to die, and yet that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to put on Christ by returning to the waters of holy baptism. Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? If you are baptized into a death like his, you are also baptized into a resurrection like his. Dying to live. This is the life of a Christian. Dying to yourself and living in faith toward God and in love toward one another. Wake up! This is what God calls you to. We live in a world that has taught us and continues to teach us that you are God and the whole world revolves around you. That's what you've been taught. That's how you've been catechized. You know it's not true. You know it's a lie. But it's really fun to believe. Right? Wake up. Wake up. God's world revolves around you. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus lived and died and now lives again. He lives again in you. Put on Christ. Put on the armor of light. Don't conform to the ways and wiles of the world. Wake up. Because Christ's righteousness covers you and lives inside of you. You know, there's an old Sunday school story about a little boy who's in Sunday school class. And the teacher is explaining to the kids that when you believe in Jesus, Jesus comes and lives in your heart. And the one little boy, a budding social justice warrior, I'm sure, rubbed his chin and looked at the teacher and said, "Teacher, if Jesus lives inside of me, and if Jesus is bigger than me, won't he stick out?" And the teacher said, "Exactly. Exactly. Oh, Christian, wake up. Jesus lives inside of you. Jesus is bigger than you. Jesus has given you the kingdom, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Live not for yourself, but for the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Live for others, because this is what God has called us to do. Live a holy life rather than a selfish life. My friends, it's a new year in the church. We're out of step with the time of the world. That's okay. Today, let us resolve not only to be awake ourselves, but to encourage one another with true wokeness. Being awake in the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand as we confess the faith that God has given us. This morning we confess the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed, page 159. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This time we continue with the prayer of the church. Word and sacraments here in the Jerusalem of his holy church, where he delivers unto us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, bless all pastors in Christ that they would never tire of preaching Jesus Christ as the branch of David, come to be our righteousness and salvation. Continue to fill your vineyard with faithful servants, that all people would hear this good news. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may put away selfishness and greed, seeking to love and serve others as you have loved and served us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, keep this nation under your care. Bless our leaders, that we may be at peace among ourselves and at peace with the other nations of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, look with mercy upon all of those who are sick or suffering in any way, especially be with those in our own midst, including Al, Linda, Harlan, Wayne, Sheldon, Riker, Laverne, Pat, Lori, Shirley, Ron, Elaine, Lori, Shauna, Dan, Jane, and Emma, along with all of those whom we name in our hearts. Ensure that they receive the care that they need, strengthen their faith that they might hold fast to the sure and certain promises that they have in your Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be with all of those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Be with the families of Reverend Arlen Russert, Dennis Rasmussen, Cleo Kessler, Mary Brock, Cindy Melcher, and Donna White. Help their families to find hope in Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the life, who destroys the power of death and promises eternal life to all who have faith in him. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be with those who will be undergoing surgery this week. Be with Deb, Joe, and all others. Bless the doctors and the nurses caring for them. Help the surgeries to go well and recovery to happen quickly. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bring us to the holy altar in repentance and faith, that we might sing hosannas to the one who comes in your name to give us his body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of all of our sin. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Fellowship, pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the God of hope would fill you with all hope today and forevermore in Christ Jesus our Lord. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Please stand. We sing together the words of the offertory found on page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming Him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when He comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Heaven and earth are full of Your glory.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us, O Lamb of God.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand. God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 338, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get some goodies. You can get to be first in line, huh? And then back in here in about 10 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes, all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. And on the front cover, you'll notice that we got lots of stuff coming in the days and weeks ahead. Just to highlight a couple, Wednesdays during the Advent season, we have a fellowship meal serving from 5 to 6:15, midweek and confirmation, just like always. Worship services on our Advent Wednesdays, and the last of our Advent Wednesday this year, December 19th, will be our school, preschool, and Sunday school Christmas program. We're trying something a little different this year with having a Wednesday night program, and we pray that God will bless that. Next Saturday, we have a lot of stuff going on. Red Cross Blood Drive here from 8 to 2, Christmas program practice at 10, Christmas caroling, the whole congregation is invited, starting at 11:30. Help me out, Audrey. Are we having a big sale on Saturday or Sunday? Okay, all right. We had a little miscommunication with regard to a bake sale put on by Concordia students to raise money to go to the March for Life. Is that right? Okay. So that will be next Sunday. That will be next Sunday. So guys, you don't have to cook, gals either, whatever. So come, it'll be to support a really great thing. And we have some Advent devotion books that come from the Brother John Steadfast folks. You may recognize some of the pastor authors in here, tie in with the church here. They're really, really good. And on the back, they have a schedule of all the actual worship services during the Advent and Christmas season as well. So I see Joe's got a stack of them back there, and if we get another usher or two and get those all handed out today, that would be a really good thing. Two opportunities for Bible study today. Summary of Christian Doctrine in room 109. What are we studying, Pastor?
We're going to finish learning about the fall into sin and the consequences of that for all of us here today.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's in room 109. And in the fellowship hall, we'll continue our study of Romans. Today, we'll begin Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Lots of fun stuff. All right. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. If you haven't checked your cubby for a while, do so. There's stuff in there. Vicar, anything? Anything? All right, very good. Good job. Good job. Nice and quiet. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and Advent and life with your eyes wide open.